good Thursday afternoon to you. I'm Bill Graff, along with Nansu and Amy Howe, and this is China Uber Alice. And we talk about all things Chinese, a lot of politics, and a lot of cultural stuff, which we're going to talk about today. Very interesting topic that Nan and Amy have put together. First of all, hi, Amy. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you, Nan? How about you, Bill? How are you, everybody?
Hi, we're fine.
I'm good.
How's everybody doing under
the smoke?
Orange sky.
Boy, as I understand it, Amy's up north of us in the Northern California.
San Francisco.
Yeah, and I guess yesterday was black in the middle of the morning. It was dark.
Yeah, I thought it was Don't Stay. really. Never seen that.
I actually felt
well,
that.
Well, it was the same way San Jose, too. I'm not sure how it was in Santa Cruz.
It was dark.
Now, I'm overlooking the Fort Mason, and no Golden Gate Bridge, no Alcatraz, no Bay Bridge, nothing.
Wow.
All foggy, yeah. Only a little bit of the shadow of the Koi Tower. That was it.
Wow. That's really something because
nothing.
From where you are, I don't think the Golden Gate Bridge is that far away.
Yeah. I overlooking the in Fontana. I'm overlooking. They have a little flag there, and Fort Mason, but it's nothing, no movement, nothing.
Wow.
Just space there. Yeah.
Wow. So I guess what we've been telling folks is true. Then, if you don't have to go outside or leave your windows closed and try not to take any of the outside air into your house or apartment, because probably better off if you don't.
Right.
We have a very interesting show today, and let me start out. I'm just going to set the mood here because I think I need to make something clear. We in the United States, for the most part, have a crouching tiger sort of idea of China, a Mulan, Disney sort of version of China about cultural and, Confucianism and that sort of thing. And I'm here to tell you, from what I gather from Nan and from Amy and from other people I know who have come from China, mainland China is not Taiwan. It's not that way any longer. It is not our mental image of China.
That's totally correct. They have nothing to do with any of the traditional Chinese culture, any of the Confucianism.
Taoism, Buddhism.
Taoism, philosophy.
None of that philosophy is rampant anymore.
Right. Well, they do it to they do the show for the tourists, for money purpose. If you go to Shandong Province, Qifu, the hometown of Confucius, they do the all kind of show about Confucius celebrations, things like that. But they got nothing to do with Confucianism about nothing to do with his personal philosophy. They do everything in the opposite way, in the government of China in their political practice.
And this is the changes happened, Amy, how long ago, do you think?
Oh, since 1949, So can I insert some information for the KSCO audience about who is Confucius?
Yes.
Confucius was a Chinese philosopher and a politician of the historic period called the Spring and Autumn period, which was about 770 BC. So that period lasts for 300 years. So Confucianism was born in that period. So the philosophy of Confucius, also known as Confucianism, and they emphasize personal and the governmental morality, correctness, of the social relationship, justice, kindness, and the sincerities. So that's, I wanted to talk about that. People always say that you can take a person out of the country, out of that country, but they cannot take a country out of the person, which was true. For me, and the most important inference, philosophy inference, is Confucius, almost guiding all my life. So the most important things he said, I still remember now for that many years, he said, at 15, I had my mind bent on learning. At 30, I stood firm. At 40, I had no doubts. At 50, I knew the decrees of the heaven, which was a destiny, I think. At 60, my ear was an obedient organ for the reception of truth. At 70, I could follow what my heart desired without transgressing what was right. So I almost 70 now, so I think I can follow my heart's desire and without the discretion with what was right. So basically, that philosophy guiding all my life, even though I live in China for 30 years, I live here for 38 years, but still the philosophy, the inference. But just like a man said, today we're going to discuss this Confucius Institute, but that they had nothing to do with the Confucius philosophy, anything, because their teacher recruit, they had nothing to do. They never majored in Confucianism, never majored in Chinese history, philosophy, or any literature. So basically, we're going to discuss that. So now I'm going to give us lots of information.
Yes, we are going to talk about two things lately from Mr. Pompeo, the State Department. Mr. Pompeo said that
Secretary of State.
He said he's hoping that all the Confucius Institute in the United States will be closed by the end of the year. And also, State Department also put up another request recently that all the senior diplomats in the United States from China, if they want to visit any level of local government and any of a public school campus, they have to first get permission from the State Department. So that's the two things that are coming out from the State Department that we are going to talk about why that happened and how it's happened. And if you have any opinions about the Confucius Institute, about the Chinese government's actions of their diplomats here in the United States, welcome to call us. Let's hear from you. And I think we're going to have a great discussion about this.
I think so, too. I really want to talk about this because I was unaware before talking to you and Amy about this earlier in the week. I was unaware that Confucianism has been hijacked. At least the name has been hijacked.
Yes.
We're going to talk about that, and we're going to take your phone calls on 479-1080 in just a moment. We do have to take our first break.
I want to tell you about Zinnia's Gift Boutique in Scotts Valley. Now, Zinnia's has a marvelous selection of gifts for both ladies, gentlemen, children, and for the home. There's Vera Bradley, there's Brighton, Hobo, Johnny Was, Kendra Scott, Habitat. They have face masks, sanitizers, candles, home goods, women clothing, self-care, baby items, jewelry, gifts, and more. You can either buy online at zinniasgiftboutique.com. You can go to the store where there is limited entry, but you can shop inside the store. Or if necessary, they can do curbside delivery for you. Go and see Deidre and her fabulous staff. It's a marvelous store. Zinnias. Zinnia's Gift Boutique in Scotts Valley.
Was your home damaged? Call your local private adjusters at 888-GREENSPAN. The Greenspan Company, Adjusters International, is the premier public adjusting firm in Northern California. Having represented homeowners following every major wildfire over the last 30 years, we relieve the emotional burden of having to deal with an insurance company, we generate a more timely and higher settlement, and we handle all aspects of your claim while you focus on your family. Call today at 888-GREENSPAN. California DOI license number 2E11301.
I'm Jim Chubb with Pacific Inland. Our NMLS 361091. If you're interested in buying or refinancing, I suggest you take advantage of my reliable expert advice. I'm at 818-7700. I help you make informed mortgage choices with zero selling. See my Sunday column in the Sentinel. We have a 30-year fixed at 3.375 APR with no closing costs. Some restrictions apply. Call me, 818-7700, for individual pricing. That's 818-7700.
Welcome back to China Uber Alice. I'm Bill Graff along with Nansu and Amy Howe, and we are talking about Confucianism, Confucius himself, and how the whole term, the whole name, the whole image has been hijacked is the only way to put it.
I think that's absolutely correct word, very accurate.
Yes.
Really articulated what Confucius Institute is about.
Yeah, well, I was trying to think of a nice way to say it, and I figured, you know, no, it's been co-opted, it's been taken away, and I would imagine, I'm only speaking for the great man in a rhetorical way, but if Confucius knew how his philosophy and his image and everything had been hijacked, I'm sure he would be unhappy.
Yeah, there's a few things I want to really lay out here in the past why the controversy around the Confucius Institute has been raised up all over the Western world. In 2009, that's 2009, University of North Carolina. They had a Confucius Institute in the school, so in that year they invited Dalai Lama to come to speak.
You told me about this.
Yes, then the Confucius Institute mobilized all their students and went protest. So they end up cancel the event, they cancel the visit of Dalai Lama. It was reported by Washington Post. And in 2008, before China Beijing Olympic, Olympic was on August 8th. And then in March 17th, there was a huge Tibetan monks protest for religious freedom.
Yeah.
And then it was totally cracked down, a lot of bloodshed. And now one of the Canadian TV station reporting it, now University of Waterloo in Canada, they have Confucius Institute. So that Confucius Institute that actually mobilized their students to seize the TV station that reported the crackdown in Tibet. So that's another incident. And in 2014, Europe has a European Association of Chinese Studies. Mm-hmm. They had a conference, whole Europe conference in Portugal, and in Braga, Portugal. And then the executive chief of Confucius Institute actually asked their conference to remove all the information in their conference
material
related to Taiwan, to Taiwan. And also one last thing, that Confucius Institute hired all their teachers in China to send them to all around the world. And on their job announcement, there is one requirement that's really printed, that if you have a history of practicing Falun Gong, ancient meditation that's banned by Chinese government, forget it. You're not going to get the job.
Not getting the job. All right, let's bring Mike. Hang on, we're going to Amy. We'll get you in just a second. I want to bring Mike on. He called from during the break. Mike's from Watsonville. Hi, Mike. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm great.
Yes. Good. Hey, so I got a question. It seems we're finally, as a country, taking this serious, the threat of China, and I'm concerned that we're going to go back, and I want your guests' honest approval. I notice when they talk and they don't really have anything bad to say about our country, and that's great. I'm not asking them to go there, but I just want their honest opinion. If control goes back into the hands of the Democrats, are we going to head back down the same path as we've been with China? So that's my question.
A very good question. Thank you, Mike. We appreciate that.
Thank you, Mike, for your question. Honestly, it is my concern. I compare with the policies from Trump and Joe and about what they say. Absolutely, Joe Biden doesn't really lay out his China policy. China policy had a little improvement. They removed the One China policy from during the Democratic National Conference. That's a good move, but obviously it's not as strong as Trump policy. Trump basically said in his second term he's going to decouple from China everything. Economy and everything else. So we do not know. It will be interesting with all these things going on in Congress, Hong Kong bill and Taiwan, and all these things going on. We don't know if Biden is going to do if he's elected. I don't have the answer for you.
Go ahead, Amy.
I agree with Nan. I truly believe Trump is the only guy can do that. And you look at recently all the things, since the Secretary of State Pompeo in the conference in the Nixon's library, and we have all kind of things going on in China. So Trump is the only one, I think, Republican Party is if we re-elected, so everything will be in place. Otherwise, I have a serious doubt about Democrat will do anything. I'm very much afraid about that.
Yeah, the Democrats, they're always afraid of the race issue, because if we're dealing with other countries, nationalities, and they're so afraid of the word racism, and even China's picking up on that and using our own culture of the race card against us. And that's what I'm afraid of, is when the Democrats, there's a very good chance they're going to be in power and they're just going to be cowards at dealing with, with this whole scenario. I've never seen a country that has been so foolish to let thousands upon thousands of spies into their country. It's just unbelievable how we've dropped the ball on this, from our universities to our companies to everything.
Right.
Yeah, there's been an awful lot of espionage going on in American countries, for sure.
Michael, thank you for the question. Yeah. But I think we need to worry about more about the China policy instead of spy issues. I mean, spy, it's a serious issue we need to take care of. But in the past two decades, they don't need to even send a spy to the United States. We have an open door policy.
Sure. And first of all, the other thing everybody remembers, we like to point at China for, stealing trade secrets and all of industrial espionage and all that.
Yeah.
But in reality, I hate to be completely honest here, but let's be completely honest. Everybody around the world steals secrets. That's
right.
Look, the United States, when we couldn't get it done, when we couldn't build rockets the way we wanted to after World War I, who did we hire to head our space program? Germans. We hired Werner von Braun and a whole bunch of rocket experts to teach us how to do rockets, because we couldn't get it done. Okay? So I'm just saying that that it's entirely possible that we'll never stop industrial espionage. It's not going to happen. At least I don't think it's going to happen, because I think, you know, stealing secrets from one another and building a better mousetrap is kind of the way we do it.
Well, Bill, I will say there were the two things I, you know, thank you for your points, but there are the two things I want to clear is, number one, we really have, see, in the our technology products, most a lot of them are made in China. They don't even have to send a spy to the United States.
Absolutely.
And that's number one. Number two, that in the last two decades of time, the China really, because we have open door policy, you know, the, all these Chinese companies, they call them the Chinese companies, but you know who they're getting the money from. They bring bags and bags of cash. They come into all these VC venture capital. They say they are the venture capitals, right? Companies. They go to all these cutting edge small companies, technology firms. They just sit down. They just say, hey, give me idea. I have the money if I'm interested in your idea. So they take all our ideas.
It's Shark Tank.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. So you know they don't really. It's our China policy that's the crucial. But of course, spy is another issue. We need to catch them. And number three is now go back to the we talk about every country do all these technology spy. Well, I think the discussion is not about fairness.
No.
There is a right or wrong. I mean, if you go back to the 1980s, we boycotted Moscow Olympic, and then in 1984, Moscow, Soviet Union, and a bunch of communist countries boycott our Los Angeles
Olympics.
Right? If you think about it's a fairness. If we do that, they can do that. Then there's no right or wrong, but we need to choose to be on the right side of history. That's what we need to. We only talk about fairness when we share the same platform of values. If we all pay respect to the inalienable rights of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness, then we talk about.
Then we talk about fairness.
If they don't even respect the value, it's about right or wrong. It's not about fairness.
Amy?
On top of that, I think another thing is they take advantage of our system.
Oh, yeah.
That nobody ever pointed out or do something about.
Yeah.
You know, so the spy things, the espionage, everything, I think it's about a time to clean up. Clean the house, of course. Get those people
drain
arrested.
Drain the swamp.
They reject a lot of visas because they come in. They all work for the Chinese Liberation Army, those spies, you know. They steal everything. Nobody say anything. Nobody do anything. They take advantage of freedom.
They weaponize our democratic system.
That's exactly a very good word. That's what I mean.
Yeah. Amy, I appreciate your comments. I we're going to go to a commercial break, and then we're going to come back and talk to Rory from Watsonville in just a minute. I did want to make one point here. You're talking about leveling the playing field and playing fair and all that. You know, a great example that came to mind while you were saying that was if everybody honors the Geneva Convention and plays by the rules in war, then, you know, the prisoners, you know, get taken to a humane place and they get medical attention and all that stuff happens, right, under the Geneva Convention. The trouble is a lot of people threw the Geneva Convention out the door a couple of years ago, you know what I mean, a couple of decades ago. Anyway, I just thought I'd bring it up. We'll be right back on China Uber Alice.
Ad paid for by Yes on 22. Save app-based jobs and services. A coalition of on-demand drivers and platforms, small businesses, public safety, and community organizations. Committee major funding from Lyft and Uber Technologies.
Times are tough. A pandemic. Historic unemployment.
So what do Sacramento politicians do? Pass a new law trying to make it illegal for rideshare and food delivery drivers to work as independent contractors.
Politicians are taking away drivers' right to work how they want, putting hundreds of thousands of drivers out of work, and threatening to shut down rideshare and delivery services.
At the worst possible time.
That's why we need Prop 22. Yes on 22 protects drivers' right to work as independent contractors. contractors, saving hundreds of thousands of jobs.
Yes on 22 is supported by the overwhelming majority of drivers by a 4-to-1 margin.
And by the California Small Business Association and the California Peace Officers Association.
They all urge you to vote yes on 22 to save app-based jobs and services.
Hi, this is Garrett down here at the fairground. Currently out of work due to the fires up in the Santa Cruz Mountains. If you could please donate down here, there's a lot of families, kids, and people that could use your help down here. They have volunteers, they got clothes, they got food, but they need your donations, they need your money to come help out Santa Cruz Mountains and the community. Anything would help. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Please send your donations to support@fairgrounds-foundation.org.
Hi, this is Dr. Duncan McCollum, and I want to invite you to join me this Saturday, 3 o'clock, on Stepping In, as I discuss some of the newest innovations in healthcare. You're going to find out what you can do to get your body healthy so that you can live long and happy. We'll see you this weekend, 3 o'clock, on KSCO.
Program you're listening to on KSCO Santa Cruz. By the way, if you want to participate, 479-1080 is China Uber Alice. And we have a caller who waited through the break. We appreciate that. That's Rory in Watsonville. Hello, Rory. How are you?
I'm well. Thanks for taking my call. And this is a great program. Needs national syndication. Thank you to the guest.
Well, that's above my pay grade. I don't...
Yeah. No, you could do it, Bill. You could do it. But before I ask my question, a couple of comments. Wernher von Braun came over after World War II, Billy.
Okay, and I got the war wrong. I'm sorry. But
well, and it wasn't,
what I mean is we borrowed his brain.
Yeah, but it was after we kicked the Nazis' rear end.
No, so I understand. We have a long history of importing technology from other places and talent.
Of course, the Germans knew rockets. They invented synthetic oil so that their rockets would work. I mean, they are smart. So, and actually, my mom saw him. She worked for a little bit before she got married at JPL, and she saw him there at JPL Pasadena.
Sure.
When he was doing his early NASA work. But at any rate, the other thing is, I heard it. I didn't coin it, but our U.S. Constitution is not a suicide pact with our enemies. And we as Americans need to up our ability to do threat assessment from our enemies. So a program like this is great because it opens people's eyes. So along Justice Institutes, but I just heard recently that the movie that's coming out, Mulan, was shot by Disney in China, pretty close to where, I don't know if the Uyghurs are being kept in slave-like conditions, but pretty bad. So I thought you guys would be the best people to ask for clarification.
You know, it's very interesting you bring that up because guess what we talked about right before the show in the lobby of the radio station?
Yeah,
topic.
Yeah, we actually talk briefly about Mulan, and then because I personally just learned that the Mulan. Well, first of all, we knew that the actress, she's American. You know, she grew up here in the United States that played Mulan.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
And she went back to China. She became an actress, and then she was publicly criticized the protesters of Hong Kong, and then she was sided with Hong Kong police of persecution against the Hong Kong protesters. And guess what? We just recently found out that it was reported that in the end of the Mulan's movie, and when they list all these the organizations
the
giving the donations and supports, And then the Uyghurs region, it's called Xinjiang, right?
Yes, Xinjiang
region, Xinjiang province.
Okay.
Chinese Communist Party's propaganda department in the Xinjiang province. They make the donation supporting how the movie was made. So we were talking about we are going to talk about the movie, but I have to see first. So I'm going to find the movie. Originally I wasn't even going to see it because the comments made by the actress, but now because of that of the comments and
the credits
and the credits, I'm going to see it and then we're going to talk about it later.
Yeah.
So Rory, as usual, you are above the you know, ahead of the curve when you call.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. I try to keep my ear to the ground, and I guess we won't be seeing any Taiwanese flags in Mulan then.
I don't think so. No. Well, we talk about Confucius Institute. So all the discussion about related to Taiwan and Tibet are banned. Can't have that discussion in the Confucius Institute.
You will know that. Disney,
well, you know what?
And Hollywood, you know, they all get a big money from China. So what do you think? So you will see lots of those things, you know.
I think Nan, you and Amy, this discussion that you're having on this program, China Uber Alles, I think it could be a germ for liberty to be restored back into China, and that the CCP will be revolted against by the people. So keep up the good work. Let's not lose hope. These germs of liberty and freedom are universal. And we need to not forget that most of the people in China are under the thumb of the CCP.
Right.
And thank you.
They're being oppressed.
Thank you. Thank you.
Take care. Roy.
All right, Rory. We'll talk to you soon. Let's check in with Mark, who's also calling from Watsonville. Mark, you're on KSCO.
Hello. You were talking about the Confucius Institute. Have you heard of something called the 1,000 Talents Program?
Yes.
Yeah, it turns out that the head of the CalPERS, the Public Employment Retirement System in California, is an investment fund that funds the retirement benefit, health benefit program for California state employees. It has several billion dollars in the fund, and they put a fellow named Yobin Ming in charge of it.
Well, Mark, we talked about this last week, and it's a huge – he finally, I guess, was asked to quit, or
maybe he
was fired, or he resigned. Anyway, he's no longer doing the job. But the damage, according he'd done a lot of research on this. Apparently, the investment damage has already taken place.
He invested in communist Chinese defense industries.
Yes, that is correct.
I mean, so our state, California state taxes were transferred to Chinese defense industries in China.
That is correct. You're absolutely correct. We published the Epoch Times actually published the first investigation report back in July of last year. It was presented to Congress, and we discovered tens of millions of shares were purchased by CalPERS from Chinese airspace. That's PLA program, People's Liberation Army, and also their shipbuilding. That's the industry that's building the aircraft carrier, and also a lot of their transportation agencies that's building the islands in the South China Sea, and also their technology company that build the entire internet system in North Korea. So that was the report we did, and it was published, and a 1,000 talents plan. A lot of people, maybe if you are first time heard this name, it was started by Chinese regime back in 2007. What they do is they will come out to the United States and the Western countries. They will hire all these pioneer technology companies or scientists or the major financial institutions managers. What they do is For scientists, they say if you give a clear example, if it's a scientist, they say if you're working in Harvard University, you are doing some cutting edge biotechnology research, right? You have a lab. So they will come here. If you know, most of these scholars, they actually come out from China in the early years. They graduate in the United States. They become very successful. They become the pioneer research scientists, right? So the Chinese government will approach them to say, hey, we're going to fund you the same program. We will fund to establish the same kind of lab. We'll have the, we'll buy the, all the equipments. It's the same that what you have in Harvard. Of course, they buy all these all around the world, including United States. So what you're going to do is whatever the research programs you do here in Harvard, you're going to do the same thing in China. And they will hire, you know, the lab assistants, equip, facilitate the equipment. So what? So basically, it's a copy. Your research result here will be repeated in the same similar type of university, and then you will come up with the result at the same time. So that's how they. That's called a thousand talents plan. So that's how they did this kind of things. So there have been quite a bit of the arrests made in the United States for this kind of faculties.
So, Mark, you're right. You say that was tied to the Confucius Institute, which was true. I think the document would say that the principal, they say that they were cultivate the talent. So this talent would be the thousand talent plan. So that's the way they try to.
I think that's in Belgium. Brussels. Yeah, Brussels. There's a university of VUB University. They actually found the head of Confucius Institute in that university. He was conducting recruitment to hire spies. So that was one of the scandal from Confucius Institute.
Yeah. Also, the reason we want to shut down. Is another one is the money is totally undisclosed secrecy between and this Confucius Institution with the university here all over the world.
Yep.
They have some 167 countries involved, and here United States more than 100 universities involved. But those negotiating the plan and the payment totally remain secret.
Secret payment, secret negotiation.
Yeah, so that's why right now the State Department say want to put it in the foreign mission, and then that is totally different story. So they was under this university and make a deal with them and pay them to buy all kind of dirty things. So that's why we
Mark,
have to
we
shut
have
down.
So much to say on this. Did we step over you?
Oh, not at all. But you know what's interesting about Mr. Meng's resume prior to getting hired by. CalPERS, he was the deputy chief investment officer for the China State Admission of Foreign Exchange.
That's right.
The Communist Party agency that manages $3 trillion in China assets, so in investments. So, but that's on his resume, and then he got hired by the state of California.
That's correct.
That's what's scary to me, that someone didn't look at that and say, you know, maybe not a good idea.
Well, maybe
and
they looked at that. I'm thinking they thought it was good experience on his resume.
Well, here's what happened. Okay, if you look at the CalPERS website, they clearly posted he worked there before.
Right.
But however... The CalPERS website only say he worked for the Foreign Currency Management Bureau, but they didn't mention that was China's. So if you only look at the resume, most of the people would not know, you know, only China have that organization. Purposely hide a part of the information from the public, from all the CalPERS retirees.
Mark, thank you for the call.
Somebody had to accountable.
Thank you for the call, Mark. I got to go to a break. All right. Hang on. We're going to talk more about this when we come back from our commercial break. You're listening to China Uber Alice on KSCO.
You wouldn't go to court without a lawyer. You wouldn't sell your house without a realtor. You wouldn't go to an IRS audit without an accountant. So it stands to reason you shouldn't go up against your insurance company without a public adjuster. Call 888-GREENSPAN today. Our adjusters level the playing field, working only for you to optimize your recovery and to help alleviate the emotional burden of dealing with your insurance company. Call 888-GREENSPAN for a free analysis of your insurance policy and a roadmap to recovery. California DOI license number 2E11301.
Though the rain might fall, the wind might blow, and the earth might shake, the folks at JM Electric still get up in the morning to go to work for you. I'm Charles Friedman here with Chris Jensen of JM Electric. Chris, I understand JM has been declared an essential business.
That's right, Charles. The president wants us to get up in the morning and make certain our customers' homes and businesses have the energy they need and that all their electrical systems are safe and secure.
Sounds like quite a job, given all the electricity everyone is using at home these days.
Electricity use is up, Charles, and we want everyone to know that, though JM Electric is practicing all the safety protocols now in effect, folks can still expect the same dependable, honest, and trustworthy JM Electric service our industrial and home owning clients have come to expect over the past 7 decades.
Folks, to check on the electrical circuits in your walls or to electrify your next project, call on family-owned JM Electric, 831-422-7819 or jmelectric.com.
Rush.
Most of the action in Washington on Thursday night was not perpetrated by people who live there. These are people bussed in, flown in, professional agitators. Same thing in Portland, same thing in Ferguson, Missouri, the same thing in Baltimore. It's the same thing everywhere. The game is to make it look like natives of these cities are fit to be tied, that they hate Trump. That's what they want us to believe. It isn't. It's a bunch of bought and paid for agitators.
Rush Limbaugh, 9 to noon, weekdays, right here on KSCO.
China Uber Alice. This is KSCO Santa Cruz, and we went to a break, and unfortunately, I think we went to a break right as Amy was trying to make a point. So let me come back and go right to Amy. I'm sorry if I cut you off.
No, it's fine.
Okay, so obviously Mark has done his homework, and Rory for that matter too. So we have quite a situation going on here. You had been interjecting, Amy, about how this whole thing went down and how, well, tell me what you think, because I want to make sure I've got your perspective in this too, because, you know, Nan and I are, we're looking at it from a different point of view than you are.
You mean the issue?
Yeah, the whole idea that, like, for instance, Nan wants to see Mulan, not because he wants to see Mulan, but he wants to see what they've done to the whole idea.
Who funded?
Yeah, who funded it, and how corrupted the story is.
Well, there's Mulan. It's an icon of Chinese culture, right? So there's a lot of different interpretations about the traditional Chinese culture. It's like it's not about Bible. It's how you interpret Bible, right? So basically, you know, I want to see the movie to see if Chinese propaganda department funded that movie, so what kind of a twist they try to play the Chinese culture over there.
Yeah. Well, I'm interested in
my
Amy's
point of view. Yeah.
Yeah.
My point of view is lots of things. So coming to the bottom line, you're talking about the American company, big corporations, Hollywood, everything, and that they're collaborating with China. It's all because of money. I just said the market share. How much money they can make from China, how much they can get. So that's all. So all the politics compromise our principles, our freedom. This university too, you know, the Academy of Freedom, freedom of speech, they totally compromise because China gave them money. So
yeah,
that's why I have this institution, Confucius so-called, you know. So it's a time to close down.
Yeah.
That's why I wanted Amy's point of view.
That's my point of view.
Yeah, and see, your point of view is very
straightforward.
Straightforward. That's a great word. That's exactly what I want. Because, you know, whenever you hear Disney gets involved with I'm not bagging on Disney, but Disney's point of view is very skewed when you look at reality. It's just a different point of view.
Well,
it's very homogenized and very watered down, and you know what I mean? It's a romanticized version of everything.
Well, once you get a financial interest into it, things can change quite a bit.
Oh, yeah.
I just read one report that the Stanford University, well, we have Confucius
Stanford.
Institute in California.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, one in San Francisco State, which closed down last year,
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
One in UC Davis, already announced to be closed this year. And then there are three others in the Southern California. Two others in Southern California. One is in UCLA, and one is in San Diego State University, mm-hmm. still in operation.
Still in operation in San Diego.
And also one in Stanford in the private university.
Still
in operation. And then
is surprising to me.
Yep. And I also read a report recently that the Stanford actually said they received $4 million from
the money. Money talks.
Yeah, and then all you need to show, I recommend you, if you are interested to find out how Confucius Institute is operating, go to see the movie In the Name of Confucius. You can watch by just on YouTube. It costs you $4.99 if you really want to looking for the answer of all this. They talk about how one Canadian school district finally, after people come protest, they closed down the Confucius Institute in the school district, and also basically when they interview the program director, they show everything they receive from China,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of books and money, and that's why they kept.
If you've just joined us, we started the program by pointing out that the Confucius Institute has hijacked the image, the idea of Confucianism and Confucius himself. And I said this before, and I got a big nod of agreement from Nan and Amy as well. I heard her verbally say the same thing down the line, that if Confucius were alive, he would be very upset that his philosophy has been co-opted and negated by this institute. It's not what you think it is, folks. It's really not. If you're into the spiritual aspects of Confucianism and the philosophy and the teaching, this has nothing to do with the name of this entity.
Yeah. Let me talk about
who made the movie the Confucius name. Is it a documentary?
You mean no? We're talking about Mulan. It's the new movie of Mulan.
You talked about the one that you can watch on YouTube for $4.
Oh, In the Name of Confucianism.
Confucius,
who made that?
Yeah.
It's NDTV. NTDTV.
Okay.
It was a totally journalism. It's how they interview.
So it's like a documentary?
It's a documentary.
Documentary.
Yeah, yeah. So they interview the different part of the protesters who want the Confucius Institute to be closed. They interview the supporters from, you know.
So you have both sides?
Both sides.
Okay.
And then they interview the school districts.
They get the money.
They get the money. So, and then they follow the entire discussion, because the school board have several very heated discussions.
I bet they did.
When they come to either they're going to continue or close the program.
I just ask you. You say the Stanford still didn't close because they got $4 million. So if they close, China will ask the refund?
Well, it's interesting. Well, here is how this thing it works. Okay, the Confucius Institute organization, they basically on paper, mm-hmm. if you are going to, you know, anyone, if you want, you're interesting to start that program, you can start that school yourself. Mm-hmm. Then what they're going to do is they're going to
Send you the materials?
Send you the materials, a lot of them, free books.
Textbook, everything.
Textbook, and then they will give you $500,000 to start with in the first few years.
So you can have your own school.
Yes, then, you know, that's why some of the local school districts, they don't have the language program, so they want those money. So they, and then they will also send teachers.
There,
the teachers that will teach the, in your school. Now, it was interesting.
Paid by Chinese government?
Yes.
Paid.
Yes.
Called as Han
Bai. This doesn't sound like a particularly good idea to me.
Well, what they also, what happened is a few years earlier, I did a little research myself because that's earlier, that's even before this Trump administration, that's in Obama's years, that they try to stop the visa that's issued to the Confucius Institute school teachers. Now they say it, the State Department say it, and then they got a criticism from all the schools, universities getting money from China, so they back off the second day. So that show only lasted for 24 hours, less than 24 hours.
Because, as Amy mentioned a few minutes ago, money talks.
Yeah, money talks. So I had a talk about that, you know, I was quite excited when I first learned, that's many years ago, that I learned what Obama administration going to stop the visa that's issued to, they call it J-1 visa, basically.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then 24 hours later, they withdraw. So I was having.
Boy, if you're a journalist working at the Epoch Times, this is a flag to follow that story.
Well, I was a news commentator at that time in the Chinese radio talk show, right? I was talking about why they need to be stopped. And then there was actually a teacher from Confucius.
Not the one day.
Confucius called in. She said, we are teaching truly teaching Confucianism. And then I say, what part of Confucianism you're talking about? Can you give me an example? Mm. She couldn't give me any example. we'll come back to talk about why the Confucius Institute does not teach Confucianism at all. We'll come back to talk about that.
Nansu, Amy Howe, and me, Billy, we are here. We'll take your phone calls at 479-1080. We do have to pause and bring you up to date on some information right here on KSCO Santa Cruz.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Keith Peters. President Trump is insisting he didn't lie to the American people about the dangers posed by the coronavirus. White House correspondent Greg Clugston reports.
Amid fallout from a new book by Bob Woodward, the president said he didn't mislead the country.
I didn't lie. What I said is we have to be calm. We can't be panicked.
In a taped interview with Woodward for the book, Mr. Trump said he played down the virus publicly. At a White House press conference, he explained why.
I don't want to jump up and down and start screaming death, death.
The president also questioned why Woodward didn't report his comments months ago if they were so bad. Greg Clugston, Washington.
Republicans are hoping to pull a victory from the jaws of defeat after the Senate rejected a proposed COVID-19 relief bill. Capitol Hill correspondent Bob Agnew reports.
Democrats were able to keep the $500 billion bill from advancing, but the 52-47 vote means Republicans also came away with a victory. For months, intra-party friction has kept the GOP from taking decisive action to overcome almost unanimous Democratic opposition. By securing a 52-vote majority on this latest bill, the party can project unity heading into the fall election. Democrats, meanwhile, still demanding in excess of $2 trillion for COVID-19 relief. Bob Agnew reporting.
Areas out west that have rarely seen out-of-control wildfires are burning today, including areas of Oregon.
Jackson County Sheriff Nathan Sickler tells TDRV the entire Rogue River Valley is threatened by multiple wildfires.
All the first responders are hurting for our community right now. This is an event that is larger than anything that I've been a part of with regards to the loss of property and the destruction to our community.
Hundreds of homes have been destroyed all the way from the California-Mexico border north to Washington State. On Wall Street, the Dow down by 405 points. The NASDAQ dropped 221. The S&P lower by 59. More at townhall.com.
Hello, everybody. This is Dave Michaels with another Youngevity product update. This time, I want to tell you how you can avoid getting scammed. The internet can be a scary place. Hackers are looking to steal your passwords, break into your bank account, or abuse your Social Security. Don't let it happen to you. The best way to make sure your purchase is 100% safe is to log on to kseohealth.com. When you do, you can be certain that you're getting authentic Youngevity products and at the same time support this radio station. The original 90 essential nutrients can be purchased at kseohealth.com. If you'd rather make your purchase by phone, call 831-218-5726. That's 831-218-5726. To speak with an authorized Youngevity distributor. Don't get ripped off. Support your favorite radio station. Call 831-218-5726 or visit kseohealth.com. Avoid being scammed. Don't go anywhere else.
Here's the townhall.com business brief.
Stocks gave up an early gain and moved steadily lower all day, erasing nearly all of a rally from a day earlier and extending their losses for the week. The S&P 500 gave up 1.8% after having been up 0.8% in the early going. Technology shares once again led the way lower. The NASDAQ fell 2%. The slide follows a wild stretch where the S&P 500 careened from its worst three-day slump since June to its best day in nearly 3 months. Apple, Microsoft, and chipmaker NVIDIA all fell. The Dow lost 405 points today to close at 27,534. The NASDAQ dropped 221. To 10,919, the S&P 500 was off 59 points to 3,339. New York oil down $1.08 to $36.97 a barrel. With business, I'm John Scott.
News and analysis at townhall.com. I'm Keith Peters in Washington. A university apologizes for setting up segregated online sites.
The University of Michigan Dearborn is apologizing for creating segregated online student cafes that it says were intended to promote discussions about race and diversity. The virtual cafe events were held Tuesday. One was advertised as being non-POC cafe, meaning for non-people of color. The other was called Biopic Cafe, for black, indigenous, and people of color, and was described as a space for marginalized racial, ethnic, cultural communities to gather and discuss their experience as students on campus and in the world. The university says the online gatherings weren't intended to be exclusive or exclusionary. I'm Mike Gracia.
Actress Diana Rigg, who originally won fame as Mrs. Emma Peel in the 1960s spy comedy drama series The Avengers, has died at the age of 82 of cancer, according to her daughter. Rigg was also known as America for hosting the mystery series on PBS. More at townhall.com.
KSEO News Talk time is 3:05. I'm Sam Quinton with your King of the Hill traffic and weather. Start off in Monterey County State Road 183 at Crane Street. We have a traffic collision with unknown injuries. This is apparently a Nissan with major front end damage, and units are on the scene to check that out. Highway 17 up and over the summit right now is accident free and moving at the limit. You'll find the same is true for Highway 1 from the Fishhook down to Monterey. However, south of there from Big Sur to Ragged Point, you're going to find either closure in the southbound lanes or just the southbound lane. Highway 101, let's take a look here. Yes. 101 southbound between Coyote and Madrone, you're going to find a patch of slow and go right there, and that should slow you down by about 5 minutes or so. Your Central Coast weather for tonight. Patchy fog along with those hazy skies. Looking for overnight lows of 56 degrees. Tomorrow, patchy fog in the morning, then hazy skies again. Looking for a high of 67 degrees tomorrow. If you have respiratory issues, once again, we urge you to stay indoors and protect yourself. Right now, outside the KSCO studios, it is 64 degrees. Now, stay tuned for the second hour of China Uber Alice on KSCO.
Well, I've made my first mistake, haven't I?
That's the first one ever?
Well, you know, I don't know what the heck happened. I put up Charlie's first hour instead of my hour. How did that happen? Okay, let me try it one more time. Can I try it again?
Yeah, I would really like to hear you open it up big time with it, with the China Uber Alice music.
All my fault. Hour number two of China Uber Alice with Nan Su, Amy Howe, and me, the guy who makes all the mistakes. Oh, man.
It's the fault of the topic. It's too much heat.
It's too much heat?
That's right. Yeah.
I think I just breathed too much smoke outside. My gosh. Mm. Holy smokes. At least it's not quite as yellow as it was, orange as it was
yesterday. Yeah.
Anyway, welcome back to hour number two of our program today. We are, of course, talking about all things China. If you want to participate, our telephone number is 479-1080. We'd love to hear your questions or your point of view or on what we're talking about. Confucianism and Confucius, look, the whole idea has been stolen. I really believe this, and I hope I'm not being too strident in my point of view, but as I've learned from Amy, let's get to the point. It's been stolen.
You're absolutely
what do you
right.
Think, what do you think, Amy? Was that stolen?
No, I think, yes, totally. And I have to tell you a joke. It's not, I talked to people about this Confucius institution and some scholars from China, and they say that, you know, in Chinese pronunciation, Confucius is Kong, okay? And communism is Gong. So Kong and Gong is very similar. So they all told me, yeah, that's a joke. They all told me, said, what are you talking about? They all Gong. There's no Kong. Why the Confucius Institution? They are Gong, not the Kong.
So they're all communists. Like, yeah, they're all communists. Hey, yeah, I think, Amy, you make a great point. And I think, you know, using the word stolen, it's you are too nice to them. You're too nice to them. Let me give you some history, okay?
Okay.
Give you a little history about during the Chairman Mao's era, how they treat Confucianism and Confucius. In, you know, Confucius, it's been with Chinese culture ever since more than 2,500 years ago.
Yeah, 770 BC about.
Well, that's the era. But Confucius himself was born in 251 BC.
It says about 1,450 years.
Yeah,
about Confucianism.
Yeah, yeah, he was born in, you know, 251 BC. Now, 1966, that's the first year of Cultural Revolution. That's how, you know, the Chinese Communist regime started wiping out all the traditions. In 1966, only they started Cultural Revolution in August. 3 months later, in the end of October and beginning of November, a bunch of Red Guards, you know, you know that.
Yeah, we all know the Red Guards.
Yeah, Red Guards. Culture Revolution.
Yeah, they went to Confucius' hometown, and they did something unbelievable with for anybody with basic humanity. So they went to Confucius' hometown, and they went straight to Confucius' family cemetery. So they dug out the coffin of the first generation that's buried there, including Confucius himself, and dug out the last three generations buried there. There was like more than 76 generations buried there in Confucius' family cemetery. They purposely dug out the first three generations, including Confucius himself, and the last three generations. What they say is by digging out the first and last three generations that's buried in the cemetery, that symbolizes to completely rule out the influence of Confucianism in Chinese culture.
Wow.
That's how horrible it is. And also, there's a Confucius memorial place in Confucius' hometown. Now, there is a statement, there is a monument that was raised there by Ming Dynasty Chen Hua Emperor. And it was said, that's how it was said, stated by the Chen Hua Emperor of Ming Dynasty. If Confucius has never been sent to us from the heaven, then the entire history of China would have been a long, dark night.
And wow.
So what they did was they tore down the monument. So if you go back there today, they repair it because for tourists to see that that monument was re-erected. But however, you can see
a line
basically because they tore down, they glued them back together. So now because they want to make a lot of money from tourists, because tourists they all go there, they want to see, right?
Looking for Confucius.
They're looking for Confucius, so they want to make money. So they glue them back together. So that's how brutal it was, how the communists treat Confucianism.
It's like...
What kind of people would do that kind of thing?
Well, it sounds...
In the Mao told the Red Guard to do it.
Yeah.
He said, we had to change the Cultural Revolution. So everything before communism is all bad. So destroy entire Chinese culture. That's what he did. Yeah.
Well, we have Michael has called from Santa Cruz. Michael, you're on KSCO.
Well, thank you, Billy, for taking my call. And ni hao ma.
Wow, you have a good pronunciation of Chinese.
Oh, we got it. Very good.
But yes, I'm really grateful that you brought up this subject of the Confucius Institute in American colleges. When I had the opportunity to be studying China back when Nixon went to China. And the textbooks that I used to learn Chinese language were all written during the Cultural Revolution. So I came to know the Red Guards very well, and Chairman Mao very well, too, because I eventually ended up translating the poetry he wrote in the Long March.
Wow.
But at any rate, what I saw in the Red Guards I see today on the streets of the United States. Now, when Chairman Mao and his cohorts turned loose the Red Guards, their weapon was the word capitalist roader. And anybody who was a capitalist roader was taken out and taken away and either reformed or killed or sent to the country. And you didn't have to be much of a capitalist roader. I've spoken with Chinese people whose parents were caught collecting American stamps, and they were taken out, and their daughters were turned out into the countryside, and that behavior, the Red Guards, and Chairman Mao and his various revolutions were responsible for somewhere between 40 and 60 million Chinese people being killed. Now, I look at the behavior and how the Red Guards went about their activities. They would show up in front of your house, and they would bang on pots and pans until you came out. Mm-hmm. And I see the same thing happening on the streets of the United States right now. The same thing. They don't use the word capitalist rotor, but they use the word racist or misogynist or whatever. Doesn't matter. They do the same thing. They stand in front of you and bang on your pans until you come out, or if you're at a restaurant or whatever. And I'm wondering if the Confucian institutes that the Chinese Communist Party inserted into our colleges have had an impact on the behavior of our students.
I'm not an expert. Look, I'm not an expert on that, but I could probably answer that question. I'm pretty sure they have.
Oh, yeah. Because they say that in the words called cultivate talent. So the student of this institution, and they were teaching them this, actually is not the Confucius, it's just the opposite, just the communism.
Let me tell you a personal story. I have two daughters. The younger one, I sent her to Chinese language schools many, many years ago. I try to check their homeworks, make sure they study, you know, have some part of their Chinese heritage. So a couple years after she went through the school, one day I was, you know, helping her homework. I was reading the textbook, and then I saw, you know, they didn't put it in the language. They were pretty careful. You know, their textbook is somehow related to some materials from China. Their school didn't choose the textbook very carefully. So it's not Confucius Institute. It's a local Chinese school language, Chinese language school. So I was reading the textbook, and all of a sudden one picture caught my eyes. It's a young girl wearing a red scarf.
Oh.
A red scarf. Oh. That's the Chinese Boy Scout, Girl Scouts organization. You know
communism.
Right. So the children, they don't have much knowledge background, but they absolutely have curiosity. They were asked the question, right? Why they're wearing the red scarf, right? So that's the time, actually, I say, from now on, you're not going to that language school. You stay home. I teach you Chinese myself.
Mm-hmm.
So
that was the question I was going to ask, because obviously you speak Chinese, so I was wondering why you were spending the time and energy to send your kids somewhere else.
Well, as a parents, right? We're busy. You don't really have much time to teach your own children.
Well, all you have to do is just switch to Chinese, and quickly pick it up.
may I jump in here and follow up on something Non said, and that was that the textbook.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And what was in those textbooks were the Chinese view of the world, the Red Guard's view of the world, and how it was necessary to do this cleansing that they were doing, and it was all justified in that. Now, my professor, who was an expat Chinese Mandarin lady, it's a beautiful woman. Oh my goodness, what a woman she was! She would always teach us what was in the textbook, but she would always take you aside and say, "Look, this is what's really going on." And she would point. She would never say, but she would point just to what was really going on. Mm-hmm. And I think if you come out of that world, and you have to be extremely careful about what you said, in those times especially.
Well, that's true, because that's why she was still teaching, don't you think? Otherwise, otherwise she would have been in a camp somewhere.
Now, and the other thing I wanted to point out with respect to the Cultural Revolution of China and the Cultural Revolution that we are undergoing right now was a comment made by Victor Davis Hanson, who is actually graduated the same year I did from UC Santa Cruz.
And we won't hold it against him.
There you go. and it is a very intelligent. He was a member of the. He teaches classics at the university system, and he also is a member of the Hoover Institution at Stanford. But at any rate, he made the comment that those who win the Cultural Revolution go after those who lose the Cultural Revolution.
That's a good point.
Okay.
Hey, Michael, I'm up on a break here, but thanks for the call.
Thank you very much.
Take care.
Thank you, Michael.
We'll be back with some thoughts about Michael's call after we take this commercial break because, well, we have to.
You wouldn't go to court without a lawyer. You wouldn't sell your house without a realtor. You wouldn't go to an IRS audit without an accountant. So it stands to reason you shouldn't go up against your insurance company without a public adjuster. Call 888-GREENSPAN today. Our adjusters level the playing field, working only for you to optimize your recovery and to help alleviate the emotional burden of dealing with your insurance company. Call 888-GREENSPAN for a free analysis of your insurance policy and a roadmap to recovery.
California DOI license number 2E11301.
Etheric Networks Internet has been providing Internet for over 12 years to the Central Coast. We design our network to provide lower delay than the cable and the phone companies. We have a staff of over 30 trained professionals. We also use better quality power backup and networking equipment than most of our competitors. And if you mention KSCO, we'll give you $239 off of your installation. Since we last dropped into the studios of KSCO to record, we've added three new internet service technologies. Our G7 service, our seventh generation, our G8 service, and our fiber service. In addition to our flagship G6 long range network. We have local technical support that's available 7x24. Importantly, Etheric offers the same speed on upload as download. We offer a symmetric service. Call 650-399-4200 or visit etheric.net online. That's etheric.net. Don't forget to mention KSCO to receive your $239 discount on installation equipment. Happy surfing.
At Coast to Coast AM, we keep our friends close.
Hi, I'm George Norrie from Coast to Coast AM.
Coming to a universe near you tonight with this.
KSCO is one of my favorite stations. It's all about being independent. So wait for our next program right here on Coast to Coast AM.
Warp Drive for the mind. It's the best in overnight talk radio. And remember to lock the door too when Coast to Coast AM is on. Coast to Coast AM.
Welcome back to China Uber Alice. Amy Howe is with us from the remote location, undisclosed. And Nan Su's in the studio with me here in Santa Cruz. And we are talking about Confucius and about Confucianism and about the euphemism that's referred to as the Confucius Institutes. And that's a nice way to put it. I'm not going to step in it too farther than that.
We have just have a caller who brought up an interesting thing about his personal experience of being in China during the Cultural Revolution, right? Now, if you think about today's Beijing's leadership circle, they are at the age about 60s, somewhere between 60 and,
80.
60 to 70, right?
60 to 70, yeah, my age.
Yeah, so, but if you think about their age when they were in Cultural Revolution between 1960s mm-hmm. and 76, that 10 years, 66 to 76, they were teenage boys or even even younger, right? Mm-hmm. So this is the entire generation of communist leader who grew up with all the culture, wipe out all the moral and ethical standard, wipe out. So that is who they are today. They are doing anything, without any ethical moral standard. That's why our trade negotiation with China, has never going anywhere. We have three presidents, Bush, Obama, and Trump. They all do the, they all do the trade negotiation with China. You know, doing the trade negotiation with China, it's as hard as doing the nuclear negotiation with Kim Jong-un, North Korea. They break the promise. Mm-hmm. They will make a promise. They'll break again. They'll make again. You know, because they are the standard. They don't have any moral and
no
ethical
honor.
Standard. Now, now they're using name of Confucius anyway. I'm not sure if you watching the Chinese leaders when they come out to the Western world in the United States, all of them, almost all of them, they will make one stop. They will always make one stop in the local Confucius Institute. You know what? They're trying to emphasize, Confucius wants to say a very famous line, work together, but respect the difference between each other.
Uh-huh.
You think that's a very democratic principle, right? Work together and respect the difference between each other. They always quote that line when the Chinese leaders visit the local Confucius Institute. You know why? Because they want to tell the Westerners. Because they want the technology, investment, markets from all the entire Western world. But however, they have an entire different political system. That's why they emphasize work together. But pay respect to the difference of each other. But the problem is...
Well, wait a minute, though. Let me stop you for just a second. If that's true, then what happens to the people who think of, who worship Falun Gong.
Falun Gong. All the people in Hong Kong.
They're different.
Well, can they pay respect?
Obviously not. They get shot with a water cannon.
Right. See, they are pick and choose.
Yeah, that's
of using the Confucianism.
Good illustration.
So it's a pick and choose.
You're right. Because I was grow up and then during this Cultural Revolution, so that right now the leader of China, the same as my age, so I know exactly what kind of people they are. So they are hypocrites, and also they're users. So whatever they think is good for them, and so it's a user. They say the same, some ego, respect, or some pure BS. That's what I tried to say.
I almost pushed the red button.
Sorry. Yeah.
That's okay.
Me too.
That's okay.
So anyway, so especially I read the negotiation, then also the 40 ministers report in the world stage. They're talking about the things. Lots of times, even the people's daily newspaper, they use the language still is that during the Cultural Revolution, that kind of language. But even worse, I'm talking about the Chinese culture language and the literature, and they know nothing because they are not educated. I told you, because they closed down the school. So all they learn is communism is very bad. Basically, the level is much, much lower than before even the Cultural Revolution. Before Cultural Revolution, we still have some culture. Even though a Chinese language, 1958, and they changing to the written language, they changing to simplify. So that's why Taiwan, Hong Kong, they use the traditional Chinese written language. And in China, and they use the one called the simplified.
Yeah, that's so what we learned when we grew up. That's the only thing we knew now.
The pinyin, yeah.
Yeah.
So you don't read the Taiwan, they use the textbook or the traditional Chinese, and in China, mainland China, they don't read it. They don't know what it is. I read some about by myself, learn. So that's why I'm still able to read both. But I'm talking about is that they really just destroyed the entire Chinese culture. Things. Wow. Yeah.
That's
so sad. So sad.
It is sad. And it's sad because you look at what's happened around the world in other totalitarian regimes where they destroy historical artifacts. And the thing you talked about in our last segment about the cemetery. The Confucius Family Cemetery.
And the monument.
You know, I was saying off air that they should put a plaque up that explains what happened. Oh, we destroyed this because we wanted to, you know, make communism king, and but we put it back. We glued it back together because we want money.
That's why it is.
Yeah.
And that's
or they shouldn't remain somewhere they destroyed it so for people never again, you know. But that's not the Chinese Communist government. Are you kidding me?
Well,
they never will look back. They never even acknowledge Cultural Revolution is wrong.
That's
right.
They
don't even never say that.
That's right. Let me give you another example how they try to mislead today's China's generation. Now the Confucius, it's officially in the textbook, okay? Because after the collapse of former Soviet Union, you know, the communism ideology itself is kind of like a lot of people laugh about, right? So not a lot of people really truly believe them. So they need something. So they doing the pick and choose of the Confucianism itself. Now, but it really for the purpose of the to stabilize the ruling of the Communist Party. Give you a typical example. Confucius talk about there are two fundamental principles of Confucianism. One is called filial piety, to respect elders and families, sure. Parents.
Absolutely.
And why is that? Because Confucius himself is a Taoist philosopher. So you Taoist philosopher, they're looking around the nature to find the philosophy of the creator. Yeah, because a philosophy, it's not a religion. So you only talk about, it doesn't talk about the creation, so you talk about the philosophy, the wisdom of the creator of the universe. So they are looking for the nature. They follow in the nature to look for the wisdom of the creator. So now you think about the love. When babies come to this love, who are the first people in their life? Their parents. So you know, Confucianism, the core of Confucianism is love. So therefore, you know, love starts from the parents, follow the nature, sure. Right? Now, the second principle is called loyalty. Loyalty. Now, in the original Confucianism, loyalty, it's about to treat everyone else in the world the same way you treat your parents. So from filial piety, you go to the love of all people. So that's what the loyalty is about. But however, today's Communist Party, they twist it. So they still talk about you need to treat your respect your parents. But then when they talk about loyalty, they talk about the loyalty of the country, of the Communist Party. So that's, yeah. You know, that's how they.
No, yeah, that's
yeah,
the
I don't
one.
Think so.
Yeah, talking about my personal experience, the Cultural Revolution really, really hurt me deeply, deeply. It's because they want me to denounce my parents, to betray my parents, and to show I'm a Mao's children. So that was really hurt me. And that wound never gonna heal. But
yeah.
That's what the communists did to the people. During the Cultural Revolution, it's not that just basically you took away my money, you burn my house, and that's not that relationship was just like a nun said. First, you would try to you trust your parents, right? That's a very natural human nature they're against. So want you to betray them, denounce them, beat them up, and you know, just horrible, horrible.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't even imagine. Well, I think this is probably a good time to take a break. We'll all recollect and come back in just a minute here on China Uber Alles.
Ad paid for by Yes and Base Jobs and Services, a coalition of on-demand drivers and platforms, small businesses, public safety and community organizations. Committee major funding from Lyft and Uber Technologies.
Times are tough. A pandemic, historic unemployment.
So what do Sacramento politicians do? pass a new law trying to make it illegal for rideshare and food delivery drivers to work as independent contractors.
Politicians are taking away drivers' right to work how they want, putting hundreds of thousands of drivers out of work, and threatening to shut down rideshare and delivery services.
At the worst possible time.
That's why we need Prop 22. Yes on 22 protects drivers' right to work as independent contractors, saving hundreds of thousands of jobs.
Yes on 22 is supported by the overwhelming majority of drivers by a 4-to-1 margin.
And by the California Small Business Association and the California Peace Officers Association.
They all urge you to vote yes on 22 to save app-based jobs and services.
KSCO has some of the most intelligent listeners on the planet, and most intelligent minds want to know, what are my options for taking Social Security benefits? Do I need an estate plan? When, where, and how do I enroll in Medicare? If you want answers to these and other hot financial topics, listen to Money Moves. Host Pamela Fugit-Hedrick and her guests have tips and tools you'll need so you can manage your money effectively. That's Money Moves, 7 p.m. Thursdays here on KSCO.
Listen in this Saturday, noon to 1, for the Tom Quinn Show. They cover the ongoing COVID situation with special attention to what people can do to stay healthy. Tom encourages people to take charge of their own health and wants to encourage the opening of all businesses, as all businesses are essential. Tom wants to see a healthy and vibrant economy that guarantees abundance for all of us. And he wants to see the strengthening of our constitutional freedoms. The Tom Quinn Show is a listener-supported show and appreciates donations to pay for the airtime. Contact Tom at 831-435-8491.
This is KSCO Santa Cruz. If you'd like to participate on our program, the telephone number is 479-1080. Our program today is China Uber Alice. And we went to a break after hearing... I thought it was a good time to take a break only because Amy was talking about her personal experience, and I can't imagine if somebody told me I needed to denounce my parents, I would get angry.
That's a really heartbreaking
story. It is very heartbreaking, and I'm glad you shared that with us, Amy, but I can't even imagine how that went. That's just amazing. Anyway, We have a couple of things we want to bring up as we move on through the program today. But let me ask you, how many in the United States, how many Confucius Institutes chapters, I guess is the best way to put it, how many of those still exist or still in operation? You mentioned one at Stanford and one in San Diego here in California. How many
and
more
Los around Angeles.
In Los Angeles?
Yeah. UCLA, San Diego State University, and Stanford University. There are three of them still.
Here in California. But how many around the United States?
Well, based on a National Association of Scholars, a recent study, there are 54 Confucius Institute either have been closed or in the process to be closed, and there are still 67 of them in operation in the United States. But however, that's not a total number because there are there's a lot more smaller scale called Confucius Classroom. That's operated in the local school districts. So they teach in the same textbook, same concept, except they are just not a full institution. So
in the community college or what?
Some of them actually in high schools.
Go
further. Younger people to
get them young.
Brainwashed. Yeah.
I remember years ago. I heard the news that some of the Chinese parents in Los Angeles area went protest because their local school districts opened up a Confucius classroom.
Wow.
So it's based on the information directly from published by Confucius Institute headquartered in China. They have close to 600 Confucius Institute around the world and close to 1,200 Confucius classroom programs around the world.
Wow.
So total more than 1,700, close to 1,800.
Like a mushroom, grow. Wow. So it's for 16 years. They started 2004, right?
2004, they opened up the first Confucius Institute in Seoul, South Korea.
What about the one here in Maryland? I think that's the first one, University of Maryland.
Yeah.
Here in East Coast, yeah.
So basically it's a long way to go for us to fix that program. Now it's getting to the end of the program. We do have another subject we didn't discuss. We talked about at the beginning of the show, the United States State Department requiring that all the senior Chinese diplomats in the United States, if they want to visit any level of our local government and any of our public school campus, they need to get permission first from the State Department before you can even do that. The explanation from the State Department, it's they're doing this because they want to be reciprocal, because the United States diplomats in China, they cannot, you know, they often get objection if they want to visit a local level government in China or the school campus in China. They got objection. Now, after the...
it's tit for tat, so to speak.
It's kind of like that.
Yeah.
Now, Chinese government regime actually protest. They say, we don't have any of those regulations. Now you make the announcement, you made the first regulation, but we don't have any of the regulations against the American diplomats in China to visit the Chinese local government and schools. Mm-hmm. Now, on the paper, their statement is true. They don't have that regulation.
Yeah.
But most of the people...
In reality,
see, here is what happened, really, if you understand how Chinese communist regime control the country.
Mm-hmm.
It's a system they learn from the Soviet Union's army. So, I'm not sure if you study the history, how Soviet Union army was operated. But on every level of the army, they have a political officer while they have a commander.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they are the same person. But if when they have two persons, a political officer and the commander, now the commander always listen to the political officer.
So they call commissar, so that they are higher than the army officer, right?
Representing
a communist party.
That's right. So in every level of Chinese government, say you are in provisional level government, right? On the provisional level, actually on every level it's the same. So we're just using the provisional level government as an example. On every level of government, you have, on the province level, you have a governor. But then you also have a province level Communist Party committee. Now, in the committee, the secretary of that committee, it's always the part, it's the highest officer. While the governor, he is usually the deputy party secretary.
Mm-hmm.
So he's one level lower below the party secretary. So it's the same on the city level. You know, you have the party secretary one level higher than the mayor, and on the county level, on every level. So the Communist Party is taking over the full control, and the Communist Party have their internal discipline. So if you have a foreign diplomat, especially like a diplomat from United States, if you want to visit that organization,
the party committee had to make
the decision. So now on the paper, but those discipline is internal.
So here's the interesting question for me.
Uh-huh.
Who is going to make the decision here in the United States as to who gets to visit and who doesn't, and why?
Well,
is that the CIA? I mean, seriously, I think making that decision.
I think it's the State Department. You know, if they
once again, who's making that decision at the State Department? Do they get a recommendation from the FBI or the CIA?
You mean when they go when
the Chinese guy wants to visit an American government thing?
Well,
is it this? In other words, do we have basically the local equivalent of what's happening in China?
Well, I think the State Department, what they're trying to do is they're trying to get China to loosen up. No, they're trying to get China to loosen up. That's number one purpose. Number two is because we are subject to so much penetration from the Chinese Communist regime. So they want to be aware who they are visiting.
I got it.
So I think that's what's going on. So I think it's a good start to our federal administration knowing what the Chinese government is doing in our country.
So
right?
So we back to reality. We just talk about this large retirement fund. And go to funding a Chinese defense project. So I'm talking about they visiting those local governments. Is anything like a negotiation, like a have a price tag for that to corrupt our system? Not just the school.
Good point.
Not just school. I'm talking about the school. Yes, we basically the university for sale. I mean, Academy of Freedom for sale have a price tag, like a $4 million for Stanford, so done, right? But what about the local government? They can visit anything, anywhere. And that's why I'm talking about the government control, the retirement fund. We get to their hand. I don't know. So that's probably we have to know.
Well, I think it's a good policy taking into consideration that the Chinese Communist regime has been weaponized all the freedom and all the democracy in this nation.
Yeah.
So at least the State Department will have some information and awareness about what the Chinese regime is doing in our community, right? So I think that's what the purpose is.
Well,
about.
There's that story recently, not too long ago, where they had the woman who was she got hired, and then we found out she was part of the Chinese military.
Oh yeah, the UC Davis, the researcher UC Davis.
She was hiding her identity.
Yeah. So I hate to say it, but maybe the State Department's got a good idea here.
Yeah, well, I think that's how
they say there were more than 1,000 visa were revoked because they all were for the Chinese, the Liberation Army, those IDs, but they're just hiding. So that's why we had to know.
Yeah.
I think it's one for reciprocal, and another one it's to have the awareness. I mean, we talk about Confucius Institute today for a long time.
Right.
But Confucius Institute, it's absolutely a part of the Communist Party's United Front project. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if
It's like a giant spider web.
That's right.
They're all connected.
It's absolutely there. You know that on the Chinese Communist Party, there is three biggest departments. Okay, there's three biggest departments on the Chinese Communist Party. The first department is called organizational department. That's basically the personnel, right? They control the every level. They check everybody's record and before you're promoted. And then the second level is called propaganda.
Oh, sure. Absolutely.
And then the third biggest department, it's a United Front Project. That's how they defeat, they actually win the war against the KMT Party, the Republic of China. So the United Front Project, they penetrate through every country in the free world.
Yeah.
In the free
world. We have a three division and they have a three department. So now you compare with that so you know what the difference.
Yeah.
Lots of people say we have no big difference.
It's to secure the
Boy, I can count on Amy to cut right to the bone, man.
Yep.
Hey, I got to take one more commercial break, otherwise Michael come after me with a chair, so we'll be right back.
Your insurance company hired an adjuster to protect them. Shouldn't you hire an adjuster to protect you? Call 888-GREENSPAN now. As the oldest, largest, and most respected public adjusting firm in Northern California, the Greenspan Company Adjusters International stand ready to work with you as your partner in recovery. Our team of private adjusters represents you, never insurance companies, and our time and resources are dedicated solely to you. So don't stress. Don't wait. Call today at 888-GREENSPAN.
California DOI license number 2E11301.
Hi, my name's Duffy, and my specialty is land clearing, particularly clearing land of poison oak. Because unlike most people, I don't get poison oak. But I do get it out of your life. And effectively, efficiently, and reasonably, thank you. I do all the work myself, and you are only paying me, not an army of lazy do-nothings. I work by the job, not by the hour. And you'll be pleased with my work because I have high standards and I take pride in my work. I also know how to maximize output and quality of fruits, vegetables, flowers, and anything that grows in the soil. I'm very good at what I do, and you deserve to know about me. Call me and leave a voicemail.
650-766-7208.
That's
650-766-7208.
Oh, yeah. Almost forgot. I'm proud of Trump. The best president we ever had.
Do you think local first? Join the Think Local First team during these unprecedented times as we support our local businesses through advertising and the Think Local First radio show. Come join our Think Local First sponsors, Bruno's Bar and Grill in Scotts Valley and Bloom Organics in Watsonville, as we embark on making this a better community for all. Join now at thinklocalsantacruz.org or contact Cammy at ksco.com. Think Local First radio show is every Saturday from 4 to 5 p.m. on KSCO. Think Local First.
We're in the home stretch of today's program, China Uber Alice. I'm Bill Graff. Nansu is here. And, of course, Amy Howe is from the secret castle somewhere else. Anyway, we're winding up the show today. We have talked about a lot of different things in our program today. And we want you to know that we're here to answer any questions that you might have about China and about how China is relating to the rest of the world. It's a very different government and a very different society than we all think it is. They're not operating the way they did under Confucius. They're not operating in China even the way we operate here. We think of China as being, well, they're becoming more westernized. They're becoming more democratic. Not so.
Oh, I think that's we have a try. You know, we have our China policy since the 90s from George H.W. Bush, and then we have four presidents before Trump administration. We try very hard to engage China, to have China to make a change from within, and that's one of the main purpose to allow them to join WTO. What we have found 20 years later, after we allow China to join WTO, the only thing they have done is taking the advantage from the United States. They took our job away. They took our trade secret away, and they took our market away. While we have hope that when China become richer and then they grow the middle class, they will have a change from within. That part, it was a total fail. So that's never going to happen. China did have a few times, they have leaders from Chinese Communist Party trying to initiate reform, but never last. All of them changed.
Well, because they weren't sincere.
Well, it was just the Chinese Communist Party. It's operate in the way. Well, the Communist Party is an idea from Karl Marx that's entirely against humanity. Now, if you think about the idea from Karl Marx, The communist idea itself is like everyone work at a day. At a day, the communism is realized. Everyone will work as hard as possible, while you only take as much as you need. That's communism idea. So that's entirely against the human nature.
Well, it's entirely against my nature.
Well, you work harder. Yeah. You're supposed to get more, right?
And yeah, you're gonna they get took ahead, away sure. the incentive.
Right. Yes. So that's number one. And the second way is the way they try to realize the communist society in the world, it's by violent revolution, which is a complete against the humanity. So basically their methodology as well as the ideology of the future, both are against, entirely against the human nature and humanity.
Yep.
So,
hi, Nain, last time you didn't finish your tuba baby story, how did they corrupt the people?
That's the modern days. Okay, right now, everything for Communist Party leaders, it's all about money and property, right? So
I think of the most dangerous thing is they are far more rich, I don't know, 100 times richer than Russia at that time, Soviet Union. So that's why we had to read. They think they can buy everything. They corrupt the whole world.
Did you not tell me that China has the most money of any country in the world? Even over the more than the United States?
I think the government. And not the country. We are thinking about, you know, we'll benefit the Chinese people, but the most beneficial one is the Chinese regime.
Well,
it's very important to separate Chinese communist regime from Chinese people and Chinese communist regime from traditional Chinese culture, like Confucianism. Mm-hmm. They are doing nothing. They practice nothing about traditional Chinese culture. You know, if think about this, if a Chinese communist regime want to actually practice Confucianism in China, who can stop them? Nobody can stop them, right? But they don't.
Except that you can be forced, like Amy's family was, to try to denounce parents and work at the local level to the point where nobody wants to pursue Confucianism.
That's right. So basically, they are not even practice Confucianism. What the heck? They're coming to the West to say try to teach us about Confucianism in Confucius Institute. They don't even practice Confucianism in China.
Well, one of the reasons why we're doing this program is to educate people about what's going on, and mm-hmm. rest assured, we're going to continue to bring you information that you don't hear in the mainstream media about this. Because we're on a 24-hour news cycle now. It drives me crazy. I said this before.
Yeah. They've been corrupt the border by Chinese.
Yeah. We don't get the news the way Amy would want it or Nan would want it or I would want it. We don't, you know, I want to know about what's going on in other countries. I don't want the government's view of what's going on in other countries.
Mm-hmm. So it's very interesting that the discussion. Thank you for the audience that give us the feedback and participate in the discussion. I didn't know many of our audience actually traveled to China before.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
And those who haven't traveled to China, learn from those who call the program. So if you have some things to contribute in future shows, give us a call. The number is 479-1080. But those of you listening already know that. Nan, thank you. Pleasure to see you again. Amy, we look forward to talking to you next week. And we hope that folks will continue to listen. We appreciate you calling.
Thank you, Bill, and thank you, Amy.
Thank you.
We'll see you later.
Everybody.
Next week. This is KSCO Santa Cruz,
bye-bye.
Salinas, Monterey. Bye-bye.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Keith Peters. At a press conference this afternoon at the White House, President Trump defended himself from charges in the new Bob Woodward book, Rage, that he purposefully downplayed the seriousness of the coronavirus pandemic. President Trump wonders why Woodward didn't immediately release his comments about downplaying the coronavirus months ago.
If Bob Woodward thought what I said was bad, then he should have immediately, right after I said it, gone out to the authorities so they can prepare and let him know. But he didn't think it was bad, and he said he didn't think it was bad.
Democratic presidential candidate Joe Biden accused President Trump of lying to the American people, saying he failed to do his job. Republicans failed to clear a coronavirus relief bill in the Senate due to strong Democratic opposition. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer says the GOP proposal does nothing to help American families.
The truth is, this emaciated bill is not a serious attempt at legislation or solving the real problems in our country. It's a shame.
While Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell says working families need help, not more political gains.
They need us to legislate. Today, they'll see exactly who has their backs.
The bill had promised to extend jobless benefits and provide more money for schools and the personal protection program. A Northern California wildfire threatened thousands of homes today after winds whipped it into a monster blaze that incinerated houses in small mountain communities and killed at least three people. Several other people were critically burned, and about 2,000 structures, including homes and other buildings, were damaged or destroyed in the foothills of the northern Sierra Nevada mountains. About 20,000 people were under evacuation orders. On Wall Street, the Dow down by 405 points. The NASDAQ dropped 229. The S&P lower by 59. And crude oil down 98 cents to $37.07 a barrel. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Hi, it's Charlie from the Garden Company Nursery, and I'm happy to report that we are open for business. Of course, for the safety of employees and customers, in compliance with county protocols, face coverings are required and social distance must be maintained. Also note that for now, we're not accepting cash for payment. But you can feel free to wander through our great selection of herbs, vegetables, bedding plants, flowering perennials, shrubs, vines, and fruit trees. Select a colorful ceramic pot for your patio, a whimsical sculpture for your garden, or choose a lush houseplant to add life to any room. Let us help you rediscover the healing satisfaction of enhancing the beauty of your home sanctuary. We have all the organic soils, fertilizers, and earth-friendly pest controls to help you succeed and maintain the health of your garden oasis. Get out of the house and visit us at The Garden Company, 2218 Mission Street, across from Safeway on the west side of Santa Cruz.
We're now open every day from 9 to 4:30, including access to our surprising gift shop.
One electoral poll suggests that so-called silent support for President Trump may be real.
During a Tuesday night North Carolina rally, President Trump received a very loud expression of support. But those cheers are not reflected in the numbers of many tracking polls, which show Mr. Biden holding an advantage of 2 to 12 percentage points over Mr. Trump. But a newly published Rasmussen poll says that 17% of likely U.S. voters with strong approval for Mr. Trump are less likely to let others know how they intend to vote, compared with only 8% of the strongly disapprove. It's a large variable whose significance will only be known in November. George Bonzani reporting.
The number of Americans applying for unemployment benefits was unchanged last week at 884,000, a sign that layoffs remain stuck at a high level 6 months after the viral pandemic flattened the economy. News and analysis at townhall.com. I'm Keith Peters in Washington. Panic erupted in Beirut as a huge fire broke out at the site of last month's catastrophic explosion.
A column of thick black smoke billowed from the port with orange flames leaping from the ground. Smoke covered the capital and firefighters and ambulances rushed to the scene. Army helicopters were taking part in efforts to extinguish the fire. 40 days after a huge explosion decimated central Beirut, the cause of the new fire was not clear, but it triggered widespread panic amongst traumatized residents of the area. The Lebanese army said the fire started at a warehouse where oil and tires are placed in the duty-free zone, adding that efforts to battle the fire were ongoing. I'm Karen Chamas.
The regional director of the International Red Cross said the warehouse that's on fire is where his organization stores thousands of food parcels and oil, risking serious disruption of humanitarian efforts in the beleaguered city. More on these stories at townhall.com.
AM 1080 KSCO 104.1 FM, streaming on the www at ksco.com. Time now for your KSCO King of the Hill traffic and weather update. 101 southbound at Baronda. There's somebody walking northbound on right-hand shoulder just south of Baronda. Watch out for a pedestrian. Other than that, you've got your usual slowdowns. Highway 1, 9 minutes down from Morrissey all the way till about Park Avenue. After that, picks back up to the limit briefly. Another little slowdown at Rio Del Mar Boulevard. And then after that, it is smooth sailing from Freedom all the way down to Moss Landing. Same into Monterey, Highway 68 in the eastbound direction. It's a little slow going near Corral de Tierra. Highway 101 in the southbound direction. It looks like you've got delays.